It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Next week, the Allegheny Front radio program on 90.5 WESA will begin Climate Chronicles, a year-long series about the impacts of climate change on our region. Senior reporter Julie Grant launches the series with an in-depth look at the biggest movement of snowy owls in 50 years and what it might say about climate change. That is coming up this weekend on the Allegheny Front. Right now, Julie Grant joins us in Studio A. Julie, good to have you with us.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
So why did you start looking into this?
Well, why did we start looking into snowy owls?
Yes.
We're working on the series this year. As you said, it starts this weekend, and we're going to have stories regularly throughout this entire year on the Allegheny Front. We just started hearing about owls and seeing pictures online. They're these big, fluffy white owls. If you ever see Harry Potter, he's got Hedwig that is owl. Everyone's heard of them. They have this sort of mystical thing about them. And they're appearing everywhere. I mean, from Newfoundland all the way down to all the way out to Minnesota through Pennsylvania, lots in Boston, and even all the way down on the island of Bermuda. As an environmental show, we just wanted to look into what was happening. Like, why are we seeing so many owls this year? And then some of the scientists we were talking with and who were quoted in the New York Times and the Washington Post, they started talking about there might be a connection to climate change here, to melting Arctic ice. So we decided to include it in the series.
And you heard the previous segment we did with Bob Mulvihill of the National Aviary. He is an ornithologist, and he says that unlike the situation with the gulls, that with the snowy owl, there may not be an obvious climate connection. So I would ask you, based on what you've found out for your story, can a climate change connection be made when it comes to all of this unusual activity with the snowy owl?
Yeah, I mean, what we realized is it depends on who you talk with. One of the major things that you hear is there's melting Arctic ice, right? And so everyone is seeing that there is a movement of species. Species are being disrupted. So folks like the Audubon Society, they think that you can make a connection here. And it may be a secondary connection. For example, the main food source for snowy owls is this rodent called lemmings up in the Arctic. And they are on a boom-bust cycle, the lemmings. And so this year there happened to be a lot of lemmings. Scientists were asking, why are there so many lemmings? Is this part of the regular cycle? Some say, yeah, this is just part of a cycle. There's no connection to climate change. Other scientists we spoke with are saying, wait a second, there's a lot more going on here. We think that because, one theory says that there's less snow, there's less place for the lemmings to hide, and so they're easy prey for the owls. And so there was lots of food for the owls this year because the lemmings had nowhere to hide. And so you had a big boom in the owl population. And then the adult owls are kind of, I guess, they're aggressive, and they push the young owls down here. And that's why we're seeing so many of them. There's just more this year.
And what should we know about the snowy owl? For one thing, as I understand it, this is the biggest of the owls.
It's thought to be one of the bigger owls. They're about 5 pounds. They're about a 4-foot wingspan. So, and they can be even bigger than that. They like the size. They find a lot of them at airports around here, in the northern United States, because they're used to the tundra where there's no trees. And so that's a good spot for them. But it can be somewhat dangerous for the owls and also a little bit dangerous for folks at the airport. There have been a few found along roadsides who've been hit by cars. So it's not great for them that they're coming down where there are, where they're going to be interacting with the human population.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating piece. We'll look forward to it this weekend. And then what other ecological issues will the Climate Chronicles series look into?
Yeah, in terms of the ecology of Pennsylvania, and we're really trying to stick to our region, we're going to look at how climate change is affecting us here. So we're going to look at the forests in Pennsylvania. We're going to look at things like, particularly in the summer, you might be worried about the bug population, poison ivy. One that I've been waiting to do, and just until it gets warm enough, is getting out with some of the maple syrup producers and seeing is it still a good idea to plant maple trees or to grow maple trees in Pennsylvania because it's getting a little bit warmer and maples like the cold weather. So those are just some of the stories. And one that I think you might be interested in is unfortunately, the decline in brook trout. And they say the warming temperatures might increase the decline in brook trout in this region.
So we would have to fish for something else.
Oh, you know more than me on that one.
What impact are these issues? How will they impact our day-to-day lives?
I think there are a lot of things that we might see. One thing that everyone talks about is everything's going to be more expensive, unfortunately. In terms of agriculture, crops are going to change. Farmers are going to need more insurance. That's going to make their prices rise. And as you look at how that all plays out, that means higher food prices. Transportation costs are higher food prices. If you live in a flood-prone area, you're going to have higher flood insurance rates. In the summertime, we're going to see more days over 100 degrees. If you don't have air conditioning, that's going to affect you personally. So there are a lot of ways that small changes in temperature could affect people. And we'll be looking into those throughout the year.
And these are effects. Do we know what is causing them?
Well, I think everybody has a good general idea. We're creating green, and you do hear a lot of people who debate this, but the majority of scientists agree that human activity is causing this rise in temperature. And so things like driving our cars, particularly our use of energy, is emitting greenhouse gases and that is warming the atmosphere and making it, we'll get into some of the science.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, does that have a more profound impact in Pennsylvania because we are drilling for gas? We are transporting oil and fossil fuels?
Well, certainly Pennsylvania has a role here. I mean, as one of the states that's really moving from coal toward natural gas. There are a lot of questions. There are a lot of states that are trying to add renewables and more solar, more wind into their portfolios for the kind of energy that's being used. And that has happened here too. But I think there are questions now. Are we moving more toward natural gas than towards, say, wind and solar? And what does that mean in terms of our emissions, in terms of our greenhouse gas emissions and our what we're doing in terms of climate change, because they are finding that some of these natural gas wells are really emitting a lot of methane. And so there's questions. Is that any better than just coal?
We're talking with Julie Grant. She is senior reporter for the Allegheny Front, which airs on 90.5 WESA on weekends. First chance to listen is at 7 a.m. Yeah. on Saturday. And Julie, as you have delved into this and looked at these issues, how might they impact state policy in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's one of the things we're really going to look at. The state does have a climate change plan. It's called a plan, but, as we're finding out, it's really just an assessment, seeing where we are and the kinds of things we could be doing to reduce our impact in terms of climate change. Policy, we're going to look at the governor's race this year and, as things move forward there, look at what some of the policies are that the candidates are proposing and what are the implications of those policies, things like a severance tax on the natural gas industry. What would that actually mean? Would that have any climate implications, things along that line? In terms of policy, just as we talked about brook trout, what might some of the policies on a particular species like that, what are some of the things that the state could be doing in an area like that to try to maintain habitat, to try to make sure that these kind of species remain here, that we don't continue to see them in decline.
And I believe I said 7 a.m. for Allegheny Friday. It's actually 7:30.
It's at 7:30. That's right.
So, you can set your alarms a half an hour later, which is nice. You get that extra half an hour.
Unless you want to catch Living on Earth first.
Right, which is also a great show and which you and others from the Allegheny Front have contributed to.
Sure.
So it all is a great package of environmental programming. And again, you can hear the first part of the year-long series Climate Chronicles on Saturday at 7:30 on the Allegheny Front on 90.5 WESA. Our guest has been senior reporter Julie Grant joining us in Studio A. Look for her story about the snowy owls coming up on Saturday. Julie, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of this program or would like to check out segments from our past shows, you can go to our website at WESA.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.